podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 17 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On today's podcast, John Blimmin' Bishop, Gordon Blinkin' Smart, Stephen Blimmin' Merchant, Rich Blinkin' Fulcher, and Quizface. Probably shouldn't have said that. Let's begin.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
The Danny Wallace Breakfast Show, a special
something's
morning
going on
today.
Here. Yeah.
A special morning. 35 years on the planet for our amiable host, Mr. Danny Wallace. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. Gosh.
We got you a muffin with a candle in it.
Yeah, here it is. The tiny muffin with a little candle.
Yeah.
That was my last text to work experience, Steve. Put the candle in the muffin, Steve.
I brought a party popper from home.
Oh.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey!
Wow, that actually looks. Oh my!
Watch the smoke
Lord,
underneath the fire alarm.
I did. Oh, blimey! I did not realise that these were so smoky.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Let's hope the building isn't evacuated again.
That would. Yeah, we'd all just have to agree that this link didn't happen. Just hide it completely.
There's a card as well. We've got your.
There's
card.
There's a little card for you, Danny.
Two XFM's Danny Wallace, a bright yellow envelope. On your birthday, here's a picture of four... Okay, I see where this is going. There's four kings on here. On your birthday, he's wishing you a four-king good time. Well, good, I have to be careful there. I'll explain the joke when I get a second from Baby Dave.
Yeah, we'll talk about this.
Have a spend a day beefcake. That's from Matthew. And have a good one, Steve. I noticed Phil hasn't signed this.
Yeah. He chose not to.
Thanks, guys. That's very it's very, very nice of you.
Oh, there's
Cheers.
More. There's more. Because we've got some special messages for you, haven't we, Baby Dave? First one coming from your darling wife.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Dan. I hope you're having a great day. I'm sorry you had to get up so early on your birthday. You've probably never been up that early before on your birthday, but hey, it's character building. And I'm also sorry that I let the toddler choose your birthday cake. I'm really sorry, but yeah, you'll find out. Okay, anyway, have a lovely birthday, and we love you. Aww. Bye.
Thanks. It's a Postman Pat birthday cake. I found it this morning.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. He's obsessed with Pat.
Also, we heard him in the background then trying to get involved. He's got a special message now. It's your infant son.
Hi, Daddy. Daddy.
Oh, thank
amazing.
You.
And how could you follow that but other than your favourite Australian singer turned reality TV star?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here he is.
Hi, Danny. It's Peter Andre. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, pal. Hope you're happy on your birthday.
Oh, thanks very much. That's the triumvirate. That's the important three in my life. You eschewed my mother, my father. You went instead. Let's get the big guns out. Let's go for Andre.
Good morning. It's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And Matthew Dyson, he is here. He is a terrific gentleman. We think he is one of the most terrific gentlemen currently being a gentleman in the country today. It's the gentleman known as Stephen Merchant,
Thank
everybody.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah,
not at all.
So
not
it's
at all.
Nice. I was hoping for that introduction. And that's
well, no, you insisted on it.
I did indeed.
You gave me the piece of paper.
I expect to be referred to as a gentleman, and I hope during the interview, Mr. Merchant.
Okay, absolutely. We'll see how that goes.
You don't
goes.
Get that as much. Like, in the States, if you're doing an interview in the States, they're very formal. Like, daily newspaper interviews will be, Mr. Merchant came in, he was 10 minutes late and demanded a cappuccino.
Right.
But, whereas here, it's, you know, Steve this, lanky
too,
that.
Too casual.
Exactly. It's far too casual.
Mr. Merchant is what we're going to refer to Mr. Merchant as from now on, Matt. I'm looking at you and I want you to keep me on the straight and narrow as far as this goes.
Sorry for calling you Steve earlier, Mr. Merchant.
I noticed that. It was a bit
presumptuous,
I mean, not only have you taken my first name, but you've abbreviated it willy nilly.
Exactly. Mr. Merchant.
Hi.
Mr. Merchant's tour is
Dambo,
happening.
How's it going? You see the power dynamic.
I know. You know, I'll lower my chair as well, I think, as well
do.
At the moment. But no, your brand new tour. Hello, ladies. You've been going up and down the country.
Yeah.
Whoring your wares in a stand-up way.
Whoring my wares, stand-up comedy-wise. That's absolutely right. That's not strictly a question, but I'll run with it. I don't know if you've interviewed anyone before.
I see. Have you ever had a conversation before?
By opening an interview with you've been whoring your wares.
Full stop.
You're not necessarily opening it up.
It was an ellipsis. It was three full stops in a row, okay. Providing you with a ramp, a conversational ramp.
to say that I have been, shamelessly trying to flog things.
Yeah.
But it's been going well, the tour.
It's been going very well.
Reviews. I live for reviews.
See, you notice that wasn't a question. That wasn't a question I just did.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about reviews. Okay. And I live and breathe by reviews, and they've been very glowing, very positive.
That's good.
It's funny with reviews. When they're negative, you ignore them. When they're positive, you whack them on the DVD, as you'll notice.
Yes, we've done with terrific quotes.
So, reviews are good. Audiences seem to be enjoying it. I mean, it's very difficult to gauge, but they've been laughing and clapping.
Well, that's part.
That's
the main indicator.
And that's what I can say. You know, it's I think amusing.
Yeah.
You're probably saying to me, Steve, I didn't know you were a stand-up comedian.
Well, no, what I was going to say, but if you would prefer me to say that.
Well, I prefer my questions to yours.
All right, Well, Steve, a lot of people didn't know you were a stand-up comedian, but I saw you, I guess, probably about 10 years ago, I guess, maybe slightly longer even.
Probably 10 years, yeah.
Doing stand-up.
Yes.
And it was fantastic.
Thank you.
And you would go out there, you'd affect a character who thought he was a lot more successful than he was.
That's right.
And you would include certain people from the audience,
yes.
And show them how incredibly successful you thought you were by showing them people from your phone, including N. Hancock.
Mr. N. Hancock, who at the time was hosting They Think It's All Over.
Yeah.
So he was a big name.
Yeah, big name. And things like that. And it was fantastic.
Well, it's
funny
because the conceit of that was that this was before I was well known.
Yeah.
So the idea was me arrogantly presuming that I was tremendously successful in the West Country.
In the West Country.
And no one else knew who I was. And that was sort of the dynamic of the show. But when I became quite well known and I tried doing that act again, people were just, why is he being so mean? I don't want to know. Of course he's got Nick Hancock's phone number. I knew that's why I came to the show.
Yeah.
So it didn't really work. So I had to sort of rebuild it from scratch, really, and start again. Uh-huh. And so the last couple of years, I've been sort of doing little gigs in and around London, just trying to get back to grips with stand-up.
One final question from yourself to yourself.
Steve, you are not only a handsome man, but also a very generous one. What's the most generous thing you've done this year?
We'll find out after this. We are XFM.
XFM.
There's another thing, Danny. Have you seen this? It was the 3 a.m. girls from the Mirror over the weekend.
I did see this.
This is good. Get this, Dave. It's 6 o'clock and there's a new piece of meat on the Fitty block.
There you go.
Okay. They do a feature called Six Sexy Men at 6.
That's right.
And there's a new Fitty on the block alongside David Beckham, Justin Timberlake and Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
We'd like to welcome a new arrival to 6 o'clock. He's been knocking around for years, being all witty on various panel shows and radio stations, but it wasn't until we saw him in the flesh at the Call of Duty 3 party this week that we realised Danny Wallace is rather attractive.
There you go, Dave.
Danny.
Look at that. Dave's looking at me in a slightly patronising way. Is
rather disbelieving. I'm just wondering where you got this information from. Is it
the 3 a.m. girls go on. It's on their website. You can check it out for yourself.
Dave looks impressed.
They go on. We can't work out if he's a geek making an effort to look fit or a fitty trying really hard to look geeky. But either way, it works.
It's the conundrum I have every morning. Yeah. You walk through the door, Danny.
Strangely. What's going on with this guy?
You did the dashing at that at the launch party.
Well, it was an evening event. It's not like a shambling here.
They go on. Our new crush might also be because Danny's the only man we can rely on to wake us up every day. Sadly, by saying funny stuff on the XFM breakfast show, not by spooning us in bed and then bringing us tea.
I'd just like to say, I'm not a piece of meat, right? For years, I've been fighting against this, campaigning against this kind of unfair sexism. I've got a mind.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Steve Merchant is here. Although I shouldn't have called him Steve Merchant.
Mr. Merchant.
Yeah. Stephen, a question off the top of my head. You're not only a very handsome and generous man, but I mean, what's the most generous thing you've ever done?
The most generous thing I've ever done is
I hope I'm not putting
huge.
You on the spot with
no,
this.
No, that's very difficult. But I suppose, and I don't, I just take, I've got a lot of standing orders to various charities.
Yeah, okay, right.
I don't want to name the charities, but some of them are very large organisations which work a lot in the third world.
Right.
And I am happy to donate £5 a month to some of those charities.
Right, to some of them, but not others. Which charities would you never support?
I don't know if this is a charity, but I was listening to the radio earlier, and there was a man, I don't want to do him a disservice, but there's this new thing about how you're not allowed, they say it's very unhealthy to smoke in cars.
Yes.
And this was a man who was pro-smoking, but he didn't work for a smoking, like, cigarette company.
Yeah.
He was just pro-smoking. Like, he's the guy they wheel on.
He's just gone rogue.
Pro-smoking. Yeah. But who's committed to smoking that much?
Yeah.
That their job is a sort of voluntary level, not paid.
Absolutely.
Just, I want to go on and be the spokesperson that we should be allowed to smoke with children in the back seat of our car.
It's
I feel very strongly that children should be allowed to have secondhand smoke.
Now, so another thing that people may not know about you, we'll deal with this very quickly, is that, you know, one of your first appearances on television was on the television programme called Blockbusters.
Well, I need to pick you up on one point. It was Blockbusters, but it was when it was revived on BBC Two with Michael Aspel.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
I should have known that because I've got a clip.
Well, welcome to Rupam, Claire and Steve. Steve Merchant, where are you from?
From Bristol.
Ah, popular city.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean, popular city?
Well, Bristol is a very popular city.
Bristol, but the thing is, people can look this up on YouTube, and he goes, popular city, and you nod as if to say, yes,
well,
it is a popular city.
Michael Aspel says to you, it's a popular city.
What does it mean?
I mean, let's be honest, the only person with a poor line of questions is you.
What does it mean?
It's not a question.
Here's the question. What does that mean?
Popular city, dot, dot, dot. And in the blanks, disagree if you dare, Merchant.
But what's my question is, what does that mean? You can't, I mean,
it's
you just nod as if to go, yeah, it's a popular city.
It's a nice city. The attractive parts, the stuff that wasn't bombed.
Right.
It's within spitting distance of the coast.
Right.
It's also commutable if you need to go to a number of other areas.
Why
Filton,
didn't you say all this on the show? You just nodded.
I know. I think I was panicked and dazzled by Aspel, and now certainly, if anyone ever said to me Bristol, very popular city, I'd have a string of ways to agree with them.
I mean,
SS
it's
Great
great
Britain, Isambard Kingdom Brunel's suspension bridge.
Oh yeah, all that kind of stuff. No, but the way you nodded and took it as a compliment as well. You look really proud.
Thank you very much.
Sort of, yes.
It's like when someone says, "Nice shirt." You got to go, "Well, I didn't actually make it, but I appreciate it."
Yeah.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Although this is Keith Lemon, Danny, or I like to call him Mr. Wallace, has just popped down to Video Shop to get loads of Kirsten Dunst films. I think he's got a thing for her. Oosh!
XFM!
Angry Nerds. That's what it seems. So why don't we begin with an angry nerd on your side of the desk, Matt?
Okay, a couple of computer game updates. Hashtag nerd rage. Skyrim is out and I have no Xbox, PS3 or a decent PC even. That's from Michael.
That's
very
from Michael.
Upset today.
Peter would definitely sympathise, I think, with him. He says, Battlefield 2 makers, how long does it take to reload a sniper rifle? Pretty sure it's not the 9 minutes it seems to take on your maps. Sort it out. A little message for EA there, I think. So any others there, Matt?
How about this one? Danny, 10110010110110001.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah.
Binary rage.
Unbelievable, he says.
Not technically an angry nerd rant, but, it's slightly nerdy. Why do sausages come in eights, but buns come in sixes? Says New Dan, very angry about that. He's a sausage nerd, angry sausage nerd. The new Xbox game, FIFA 12, won't let me access my ultimate team because EA servers are apparently down, which is absolute baloney, says Joe in St. Albans. I know it's baloney because my friends are on there. Blimmin' EA servers. Oh, EA getting a hammering this morning.
Really?
From the angry nerds.
Baloney.
What else is going on?
You could use nerdy language. That helps as well, doesn't it? Like, baloney is a great word.
Yeah. EA ninny hammers. Joe from Dartford, it's fine, I've checked it. He says, when you pause something on Sky and then watch the rest of the programme later, but after an hour it just jumps to live TV. I think they're trying to push me over the edge. I think you're pretty close. Dave is raging in Stoke-on-Trent, says, dear wireless router, stop losing the internet connection, thus cutting my internet surfing and XFM listening pleasure.
Yes.
It's good, that. It sounds quite sarcastic, which is good. They're good at that, the angry nerds. Confirm listener, Sam, are you there? Well, I mean, well, you know, it's not. Well, I know you're there because we just recorded it. What does Sam want to say?
Blackberries,
Just because another phone has a QWERTY keyboard doesn't make it a stupid fake BlackBerry.
Yes! Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sam's obviously got a fake BlackBerry.
Yeah. Meatheads.
I do apologise, Sam, you don't. Any others there?
Emma and Jason have got together for one big angry nerd rant for drivers using their fog lights when visibility is almost at infinite level. Yeah. It is dazzling and unnecessary and makes us put our headlights on full beam to dazzle you back. Mwahahahaha.
Yeah,
shouldn't encourage that kind of behaviour.
I just love the fact the little details, like it's almost at infinite level, which I imagine must be some scientific term for that. Teacher Ellie says, dear my Year 11 GCSE class, your vocabulary is appalling. Please rectify before exam in Jan. Read more, perhaps. Many thanks, Teacher Ellie. Although, Ellie, I'm not sure please rectify before exam in Jan. You're not a robot. There are other words you're missing there. Amazing. Well done. And confirm listener Claudia, your angry nerd rant, please.
Anne Hathaway, being the next Catwoman, she cannot pull off sexy and cynical and never will be able to.
Oh!
Meow.
Striking words there. Yeah, angry, angry rant there from an angry nerd about Anne Hathaway being the new Catwoman. Do we have one to finish on that? Well, are we done?
For another driving-based one from Cy in Rickmansworth. Dear Three Rivers Council, why are there signs on the streetlights in Church Lane telling me that the streetlights are not in operation? I know this because it's dark.
Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. Matt, he is here. Matt, describe the man to your immediate right.
Well, he's in double denim. Which is so hot right now.
It is.
Double denim's the look.
And I expected it from him. Yeah. It is Mr. Bishop.
John Bishop is here, everybody.
Thank you.
How are you, John?
I'm very good. I'm feeling a lot better to be described as hot. By Matt.
Yeah.
By a man sat there in what's nearly a cardigan.
Yeah. Matt, your defence. There is none, Matt.
The look was a hot look.
The hot look was a hot look.
But you wear it well.
Thank you.
I need to make you feel better as well. I'm in double denim today and Matt has not even deigned to mention it.
No, sorry.
It's because I've got a cardigan. I haven't got patches on the elbow, though. They're very de rigueur.
No,
I
think fair, Matt, it's a while since I've seen you. That film knocked up. I really, really enjoyed it.
There is picture evidence of Matt Dyson at xfm.co.uk. Make your own mind. John, how are you?
Oh, good, to be honest with you, Dan.
I'm pleased to hear it. It seems always to be a good time. You know,
in the Bishop world.
In the Bishop world, isn't it? What's the worst thing that's happened to you lately? Because it's just good news all the time.
The worst thing that's happened to me? Fernando Torres getting sold was bad for about a day and a half, and then he played for Chelsea, and it was the best day that happened to me. So it's like, you're right, everything that seems to affect me badly turns out good.
That's great. I'm nodding as if I know what's going on. Matt, just cover for me, football-wise.
He went from the Reds to the Blues.
Reds and Blues.
Not very good at the Blues.
It's usually Reds and Blues, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, John, you're Reds or Blues?
I'm Red.
I see different throw-ins and headers they do now, don't they, on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Different games. I saw one recently, and they did kicked it.
Yeah. It's kind of gone a different way, isn't it? I've got to be honest with you, Danny.
I
was meeting someone from the moon.
I'm just not big on football. You, of course, though, are. I was telling the boys as well, once Danny Wallace, the footballer, raises a lot of money for charity. He raises a lot of money for charity, Danny Wallace, the footballer.
Oh, this is so funny.
you tell it. You tell the boys.
No, what happened, mate, I've got a friend, Justin Morehouse, who's a comedian in Manchester, and he said there's a gig going on right by Old Trafford for Danny Wallace. I turned up to do this gig. It was full of Man United supporters. It was supporting the ex-Man United left-back, Danny Wallace.
Yeah.
I walked onto the stage. They're all calling me, you scouts, beep, beep. I walked on. I had a Liverpool shirt on. Don't know what to expect. I nearly got lynched.
Yeah. And he's prepared lots of material about the spectacle men. You know, the whole thing.
Oh, look at you with your clever books. Yeah, go on. Say yes to this.
Nice to know you would have been there for me though, John. That's great. So the Sunshine Tour, that's the DVD. What kind of things do you cover for the people who haven't seen it?
Basically, it's all about what's gone on in the last year or so, because it's been a mental year in terms of a change in lifestyle and the change in what's gone on. So everything from going on Top Gear to the effect that it's had at home.
Yeah.
So it's all just normal life, really.
Because what a few years.
To be honest, it kicked on
I suppose 2009, I noticed things were changing a little bit, and then it's been a good ride ever since.
What do your mates make of it all?
Oh, my mates just think it's ridiculous. None of my mates think I'm funny.
Really?
No, none of my mates. I go out to the pub with my mates, and they just can't understand it. They just sit there, go, I think this is a joke. Somebody is being you on a stage, because this is just stupid that people are paying money for this.
Who's your funniest mate?
I've got a few. There's a lad called Paul Maguire, who thinks he's very, very funny.
We should try and get Paul. What was his name?
Paul Maguire. Get him in.
We'd love to get him.
You love him. His valley wears glasses.
He's part of the
glasses gang. You know what you like.
He's part of the brotherhood, John.
You know, when you wear glasses, yeah, and you see someone walking down the street with glasses on, you give them that nod.
It's like it's very much owning a classic car.
I can now see you, and you can now see me.
Yeah. We've got little lights that we can flash at each other as if to say hello. We are XFM. A lot of supermarkets have taken against vegetables. Matthew.
Really?
In this day and age. Well,
they're always much better from the local greengrocer, so yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Pleased.
But it's not really just vegetables, it's misshapen vegetables, because apparently 50% of British vegetables are misshapen.
Oh.
Half. So that kind of means that they're not misshapen, are they? They just don't fit the stereotype.
Yeah.
That the unfair pressures we're putting on vegetables to be perfect.
Yeah.
And we're hiding the so-called imperfections.
Yeah, they're getting
we?
Complexes, these poor vegetables.
Yeah, they're being hidden away in back rooms and crushed and just shoved out into the cold just because they don't fit our crazy image of photoshopped vegetables. So food campaigners have hit out over the millions of tons of fruit and veg dumped each year. Supermarkets insist that shoppers will not buy them. And a guy from the food industry says, we've got to stop this madness.
Yes,
and
we
do. We've got to grow up, you know. The Sun have taken this campaign on.
Well, they're the right people to back this.
Totally. And they are getting campaigners, you know, us lot, to sign the Sun's Wonky Veg Plan. Which is at thesun.co.uk. It's about time.
Oh, I'll sign a wonky veg pledge.
I will sign the wonky veg pledge. It just seems that, you know, Britain has based entire decades of its world-renowned humour on misshapen vegetables.
Of course, yeah.
What are we going to do? Turn our back on that now?
Yeah, I know.
Because of these ridiculous pressures. What will the Quirky's columns in the newspapers do without...
Exactly, yeah.
Without a Swede that looks like some gentleman's agreements? You know? That's Life would have just been an hour of talking dogs and Esther Anson chasing counsellors through a shopping centre to complain about, like, faulty fire extinguishers if it weren't for the sort of strangely shaped potatoes that amused and continues to amuse us to this day.
Ooh.
And now these Brussels bureaucrats with their ninny hammer ideals. Got to bring ninny hammer back, man.
Flibbity gibbets. We
are XFM. How big a liar would you say you are, Matt?
I'm very small. I'm quite honest. You know, just little white lies. You know,
such as,
yes, darling, I did use the snore spray last night. I don't know why it's not working.
Has your snore spray been...
No, I won't be getting drunk this afternoon. Don't be silly. That sort of thing.
Be a little tiny thing.
Really?
What about if you're trying to woo a lady?
Oh, right.
Different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Different rules apply.
Yeah.
Phil, ever lied to woo a lady?
No.
That's a lie straight away. Well, apparently when it comes to lying on their dating profiles, men are worse than women, with many saying they are taller than they really are, and lying about their age and their weight. Pretending to know celebrities, claiming to work in the film industry, and one other, which I'll test you on, because it's a very unusual lie, are also among men's top lies. This is a survey of 1,000 people. So I thought, I've got the lies here, right? I've got the top 10 lies told by men and the top 10 lies told by women. I'm going to assign women to you, Matt.
Okay.
And men to you, Phil.
Okay.
And we're going to play lie bingo. So let's see who gets the most right. Let's have a jaunty bed. Okay. It's quite very jaunty. Matt, a lie told by a woman, please, to a man to secure a date.
To secure a date. I go to the nail salon twice a week.
It's a very unusual lie. I mean, how is that going?
They keep everything trim. All the time.
I see, okay. Well, no.
Not on there.
A lie told by men, Phil. Just think back, basically.
I'm I'm a really great chef. You really must try my wild mushroom risotto.
Okay, well, interesting profession. I will take that. You know, it seems to be a hobby or an interest. Matt, a light old bar.
I work for a charity and devote my life to it.
No, in fact, working in entertainment is the lie told by a woman. It's at number 10. Phil, a lie told by a man.
I love rom-coms.
They're not that specific. I'll give you one, though. Number 8 is knowing celebrities. It's a strange
I
one.
I know celebrities. That's great. Yeah. Well,
which ones? I don't know. Yeah. Phil, another one?
I love opera.
No, again, very specific.
I don't watch much telly. I hate telly.
No, that's not on there. I'll tell you what's the very strange one. At number 9, both by men and women, having a PA.
What?
As if the other person's going to go, well, this guy or girl's got a PA. it's a very odd thing. Yeah. So it got me thinking, right? Tell us something we don't know about a lie you have told the opposite sex. Phil, you've already said that you've never done it. That is a massive lie. I could tell from your eyes.
Last year, when on holiday in Tenerife, I did meet a girl and tell her I was the Colombian cultural attaché on a fact-finding mission.
Did you really? Yeah. That is brilliant. Well, that's straight in at number 5 about your interesting job. Matt, any lies ever?
Well, no, only those small white lies.
Just the small ones.
I'm quite honest.
Okay, really? Well, we'll see about that. I once, when I was a teenager, affected an Irish accent. and it was the bad thing was it worked, and I then had to keep the Irish accent going for ages. And then I thought, oh, I've got to come clean, because at some point I have to stop speaking in an Irish accent. And it started off as like a little sort of dare, and I had to go, by the way, I'm not, this is my voice. and that was the end of that. Off she went.
XFM.
Quiz Boys. Okay, Matt, let's get quizzical. For today's quiz face, we need to bring back an old friend of the show. Last time he was here, there was a small fire, which prevented play from continuing. That's all it was. It was a small fire. That's all it was. I'm assured that the relevant problems have been taken care of. So, confirm this to Matt. Say hello, if you will, to your challenger for today's quiz throne. It's Matthew the Quizbot. Matthew, how are you?
1959.
Okay, so all working well there. Matthew the Quizbot, are you ready to take on Matt?
Matthew.
Good. Right, so everyone's called Matt is what we're standing. We've got Matt in the studio, we've got confirmed listener Matt, and we've got Matthew the Quizbot. So, confirmed listener Matt, you should know the rules by now. Use your skill and your judgment to outwit Matthew. Deal. You what? So what? Sound like he said kill. So let's crack on then, confirmed listener Matt, with a series of mental challenges designed to test the 5 lobes of your brain. That's the hypothalamus, the Shatner's bassoon, ebony, ibony, and ivory, of course, and of course, sneezy at the end there. Confirmed listener Matt, let's do this.
Okay.
Question 1 is to you, confirmed listener Matt. Music. Which band, named after a South African football team, had a hit with I Predict a Riot?
Kaiser Chiefs.
Correct. Over to you now, Matthew the Quizbot. In Dogs, what is the name of the claw which most resembles a human thumb?
Kill the collar.
What did you... Hang on, say that again.
Kill the collar.
No. The answer is dew claw. We should check that this is...
Get engineering on the line.
Confirmed listener Matt, we're back with you now. It's geography for 8 points. Remember, you can still play your joker.
Enemy caller!
The caller is not your enemy. The caller is not your enemy. Can you get a towel or like a wet towel? Yeah, Matt, can you give engineering a call, actually? Seriously.
Yeah, we need to quickly,
we can't have another death on our hands.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we got the fire thing. We'll just crack on for now. Geography. Confirm this to Matt. Name a continent, please, beginning with A.
Africa.
Correct there. Well done.
I will slap this caller's face off.
You don't need to slap anyone's face off. You don't need to slap anyone's face off. This is just a quiz. It's a bit of fun. This is not. So let's move on to round 2. Next question.
All I ever wanted was to be loved. I thought I found love once with Morphe.
Right, this happened last time.
I'm a morphaholic. Oh, Morphe.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what to do now.
But the humans took her away. Humans, like this caller.
It's not the caller's fault, Matthew. Matt, can you just calm the quiz bot? In fact, confirm listener, Matt. Can you calm the quiz bot, please?
It's all the geeks have wound him up, I think.
Yeah, well, no, just address the quiz bot and just tell him it's going to be all right.
Matt, the quiz bot, you need to calm down. Mm.
Tell him you're not his enemy.
I'm not your enemy, Matt. You don't need to kill me.
Oh, confirm this, then, Matt. You've made it worse. It's happened again. The quiz bot is fizzing. There's going to be another small electrical fire. We can't have that for very specific health and safety reasons. There's only one way to calm him. You have to key in the special numerical code, the one you always remember, by completing the following phrase. We are...
XFM.
He's done it!
Oh, my Lord!
He's done it!
XFM.
A couple more angry nerd things, just because I like them. Keith and Hemel says, life's too short to remove a USB safely. That's got to be on a T-shirt. That's got to be on a T-shirt or a mouse pad. Dear idiots on Facebook, says Izzy, stop setting your religion to Jedi. Do you know how much training Luke Skywalker had to go through to get that status? Quite right. And Redhead Ange says, yeah, bought a £65 Android tablet. Can't configure touchscreen. Won't install Flash Player. Get what you paid for.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Hi, I'm Ricky Gervais. Danny's just nipped out to have his hair re-gelled. He's going to come back looking lovely and all spiky.
XFM.
Gordon Smart is here.
Good morning.
How are you, Gordon?
I'm a bit rough, actually. Oh, yeah. Danny, I'm a midweek hangover specialist.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're going for it. Starting the week as well on a Monday with a hangover.
As I mean to go on.
How is life right now, Gordon?
Couldn't be better, actually. My shambolic life's about to get more complicated by joining the XFM stable.
Well, here we go. That's the announcement. You know, to be honest, I was going to build up to it, Gordon, but there it is. Gordon Smart is joining XFM. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Yeah, so every Sunday afternoon between 12 and 3, I'll be joining you and playing some of the interviews I do for the paper during the week.
Yeah.
And some of the sessions we do at the paper as well.
Of course, because you guys do sessions and you've done hundreds of them, haven't you?
All sorts. In the last few weeks, we had the Chillies, Coldplay, Snow Patrol, all that gang, yeah, Kasabian. So, yeah,
and you're going to play them on the
show? We are allowed, I believe.
I believe.
as all things at the Sun, it comes with an allegedly first, isn't it?
Right.
Absolutely. But listen, it'll be great fun. And you know, the funny thing for me is that I spend this week and I can't tell people everything that I've been up to in the paper. Yeah. So this is my chance to, like you were saying earlier on, your celebrity spotters of the week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Basically, famous people I've gone to the toilet beside. It's going to fall down to that.
You ever seen John Hurt in the toilet?
I heard that earlier on. No, I haven't seen John Hurt, no.
There's a reason he was the elephant man.
I will raise you one, though. I once went to the toilet beside Sean Connery.
Oh, wow!
Yes.
That really does.
Yes.
Gordon, save these things for Sundays. Okay. Got anything planned? You got anything planned?
We do, but yeah, we've got Red Hot Chili Peppers to play about this weekend. I went to Paris with them a couple of weeks ago.
You went to Paris with them?
Yes.
This is the kind of thing we can expect. Yeah. I was in some toilets with John Hurt. Had a glass or two of wine with Danny Baker in a shopping centre. And you went to Paris with the Red Hot Chili
Peppers.
Sounds
like terrible name dropping, doesn't it?
No, it's great. This is what we want.
Yeah, it was brilliant, actually. It was really, really good because I was a bit nervous. Anthony Kiedis has got a reputation for being quite a tricky interview.
Uh-huh.
And he was quite a tricky interview.
Was he?
But he warmed up. He warmed up. And Flea was a fantastic character. Came in a pair of slippers with Magic Johnson on them.
What the classic fact? Slippers.
Yeah, yeah. So we interviewed them. It was really interesting. You know, Flea thinks of himself as a Brit.
Does he?
Right. Here's the story. I'll tell you the story. So Flea, when he was a young man, came to Britain in 1983 with Anthony Kiedis. They were just travelling around. They met a bloke at a party. The guy said, look, I'll come and visit you in LA sometime. He came to LA. Flea was on tour. His sister happened to be in the house, Flea's sister. She invited him in. They've been married for 25 years and have a 13-year-old son.
Wow.
British guy from Catford. There you go.
Really? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, that's I'm making lots of noises, Matt. Because I had like 11 questions there, and I couldn't decide to go down the slippers route, the Catford route, or the Chili Peppers route, and they all came out at once. It was a remarkable moment of award-winning radio. We are... So, ladies and gents, turns out you are a massive bunch of liars.
Tell us something we don't know.
So thanks to this survey, which says that, you know, men and women have a top 10 of lies that they tell online to secure and woo their dates, we asked you to tell us something we don't know about lies that you have told to the opposite sex. Various themes this morning. Various themes just coming up from nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be a survey, like some kind of psychological thing that, I mean, penguins, man.
Yeah, who'd have thought they would pop up penguins, quite so often?
Penguins are popping up all over the place, yeah, in terms of your lies. Can I just say to any women listening, if a man tells you anything to do with a penguin,
yeah,
he's probably lying. Yeah. That's what we found out. Keith in Romford, for example. Danny, I tell women I work with penguins at the zoo. They love it. Neil says, Danny, my friend once convinced some rather pretty ladies that he was a penguin picker-upper at London Zoo. Every time the penguins toppled, he'd have to dash in and right them. And that's not the only one. You know, my friend Jack says, Aaron, when asked by a girl what he does for a living, he told her he worked at London Zoo under the Heathrow flight path. When the planes fly over, he comforts the penguins. What? I mean, that's three penguin
lots
things.
Lots of penguin-based lies.
Lots of penguin-based lies.
It's the go-to animal when lying, I think, pretty much, isn't it? It would appear.
You would think so, but, I mean, is it Gareth or Steve? Let's listen to Gareth.
I used to tell girls that I was a dolphin trainer. I can't even swim.
So it's dolphins as well.
Dolphins as well.
Give us some more then.
Musical instruments is another popular one.
Here's one.
I told a musically gifted girl I could play the guitar. That clinched the deal. The following day I bought a guitar and I married her 6 years later. I still can't play the guitar.
You gotta sort that out. Rob says, this is amazing. My girlfriend is adamant that during our courting days, I told her I paint glass in my spare time. He goes on to say, I have literally no idea why I'd say that.
What a sensitive guy. Well, yeah. He must be. He paints glass, man.
Yeah, and he works with penguins.
It's not just blokes doing it. Andrea's got involved. I once told a guy I can run 10 kilometres in 35 minutes because he was into running. Apparently Paula Radcliffe can't even run that. He didn't believe me. He asked to go for a run on our second date. I said I couldn't because I'd injured my knee. Two lies.
Let's get some more lying women. It just sounds like, if anyone's just tuned in now, that's not the texter. I sound like a very bitter radio presenter. Let's get some more lying women. When I met my other half, Jason says, Emma, I told him I play bass guitar, which impressed him greatly, except I don't play bass guitar. He then wanted to see my bass, so I had to buy one and teach myself to keep up the lie. We're still together now, even after I confessed. Let's get another lying woman. Tam.
I once told a guy that I could get both of my legs behind my head, when in actual fact it takes about an hour of stretching to get one of my ankles up near my ear.
Let's get a lying man, Matt.
Confirmed listener Tom, along the similar lines to your Irish accent thing earlier, Tom pretended that he was French to some girls in a bar and spoke with a French accent. He can't speak French, though, and was foiled when they called a friend over who could speak French. He says, I left sad and embarrassed.
I like the fact that they've met a guy that they think is French. They go, oh, you must be lonely. I'll get another French fella for you to talk to. Stephen Chigwell says, whilst in Las Vegas on holiday with mates, we decided we each had to convince an American girl that we were some form of royalty or had a proper title. One of my friends managed to tell a girl that he was the Duke of York, the grand old Duke of York, and that he had 10,000 men that he liked to march up and down hills. Well done. You got one to finish on.
Solomon in West Norwood. Yeah. I was on a blind date and I told the girl I was Danny Wallace from XFM, and she most definitely believed me.
She must have walked away very quickly. That's why.
We are XFM. Quiz Boys.
My name is Matt, and I won today's quiz face. I managed to avoid having my face slapped off by a giant makeup robot. Thank you, Danny Wallace. Thanks a lot, XFM.
We are XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and with us today, our marvellous guest, the wonderful Rich Fulcher.
I am so tired!
And this is the great thing about hanging out with Rich, is every now and again, Matt, there is just an outburst like that.
Yeah, an exclamation.
Just a huge exclamation.
Instead of sneezing, I just like to do a little liner.
Absolutely.
Why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. And in a radio studio, it's fine, but if you do it on a bus, it's seen as an illness.
Yeah.
Why is that, Rich? I mean, why does society look down upon you and your ways?
Especially buses.
Yeah,
I don't like this. Well, it's just a matter of getting used to. It's like sort of, the uncle that comes down in the robe with nothing underneath.
Is that very much you?
It's kind of the way I am. I don't kiss and tell.
Matt, are you familiar with the word Fulchfest?
No, I want to know more about this. It sounds good.
Well, don't ask me. He's right here. Ask Rich.
Come on. Let me explain it. Well, it's not as dirty as you think. It's just a night I have where anything can happen. You know, a lot of people just have stand-up. We have the Rich Fulcher players who are up to hijinks throughout the show. There's the Brett Domino players.
Right.
Oh, I mean, the Brett Domino band. I don't know if you've seen them on the internet.
I haven't.
They are amazing.
Uh-huh.
They get like a billion hits. And
a lot?
No, not a couple of million.
All right.
I'm not good with numbers. And then our guests, which we're going to have a holiday show the 17th of December.
Right,
Kentish Town.
And whereabouts in Kentish Town does this Fulch Fest take place?
The Bull and Gate. It's right next to the Forum.
A lot of times
people just walk by it.
Right.
Because they think it's an old man's bar. It's not!
And you're there, you host it, you put the whole thing together, you are very much the curator of this museum of strangeness.
Wackadoodles. And there's Sam Simmons. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a really surreal, amazing Australian comic.
Okay.
Dr. Brown.
Yeah.
He's great. I think he's American.
Yeah, he's, whose brother is he?
Mr. Brown?
No!
Downtown Brown?
The novelist.
Really?
Yeah, the
Dan
really
Brown.
Zadie Dan Smith.
Really?
I think it's Zadie Smith's brother.
Really? No way!
It is absolutely true.
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. You can use that now next time you meet him.
Pete the Heat, he's an amazing...
I know you're making stuff up now.
No.
Pete the Heat. There's Pete the Heat.
Pete the Heat.
He's a gangster.
Yeah, see? I'm going to do some magic for ya.
Who's Pete the Heat?
He's a magician.
Right.
Yeah, he does sleight of hand out in the audience.
Oh.
So like when we're in
He sounds like he's stealing things out of people's bags.
He's actually getting lots of money. We don't pay him.
Right.
You know.
We are XFM. So listen, you are off to Berlin. You get a 4-star hotel with breakfast, plus £250 spending money. Who are you going to take with you?
I'm going to take my girlfriend, who's currently about 16 months pregnant.
16 months pregnant?
Wow.
16 weeks pregnant.
Wow, I was going to say.
That's really long.
There's an incredible medical...
She should have been induced by now.
Yeah, really, she must be enormous. She's essentially got a toddler inside her. That kid should be in school. Wow, 16 months pregnant. Well, congratulations. I hope it eventually comes out. Man, 16 months pregnant, man.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's a medical miracle, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. 16 months pregnant.
Humongous.
That's the NHS for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Waiting lists. XFM. Ladies and gents, the folk hero that is Tony Bowen is making his way through the XFM top 1,000 songs of all time, according to the book of the same name. And today, let's tick off another three. Here he is, Tony Bowen.
A-N-C-E, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stick to the B-E-A-T, get ready to ignite. You were such a P-Y-T, catching all the lights. Just easy as A-B-C, that's how we make it right. Do that dance, the way you move is a mystery. Do that dance, the wind never...
playing it piano again.
Matt, I need to put you off, Tony. Sorry.
Work it harder, make it better. It faster makes us stronger. More than hour ever after. Our work is never over. Work it harder, make it better. Do it faster makes us stronger. Than hour ever after. Our work is never over. There's a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out and I'll lay your bed. See how I leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. Keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't ever be them. Could have had it all. How to make it better. It faster makes it stronger. Than our ever after. Our work is never over.
Wow! Tony Bowen!
XFM. What have we learnt? I'll tell you what we've learnt. Matthew, what have we learnt?
Well, behind the scenes, yeah. Kitro hated the sugar-free healthy breakfast brought to us from Pure this morning, his face wincing with every mouthful of the tasty, fruity goodness. He did seem to take some umbrage, though, when Danny blamed it on his Hellenic sweet tooth.
Well, that's true, but it did lead to us inventing the stuffed muffin olive, a new business venture for Phil to busy himself with. We also complained about men who turn your gas off for no reason. We celebrated 10 years of Xbox, mainly by talking about the Sega Mega CD. And we did eat very healthily this morning, eschewing our regularly delivered flaccid omelettes, which now remain in their boxes next to slightly dodgy fruit delivered to us this morning in plastic sandwich boxes for no apparent reason.
Very strange. Danny's recent deconstructed then beefed up paid for read message from the Assassin's Creed people just got an approval rating of 75% on the sales floor of the building. Only 13% hitting the dislike button on their keypads, 12% unsure.
12% unsure, well, that's all right, it's supposed to go to. Topics discussed off-air today included chips, dips, pips, chicks and hicks, drumsticks, toadstools and wine, which is also the first line of a new musical that I'm writing for Matt.
XFM.
So there you go, that was your podcast for this week. There'll be another one next week, so don't worry, but also you can listen to us live every day from 6:30 on 104.9 FM in London, on DAB nationwide, or online across the world. I will speak to you in some form soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.